The title of my message this morning is Spirit-Filled People. And I want to focus on what it looks like for us as people to be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm not going to dwell so much on who the Holy Spirit is. Sorry if that disappoints you. But I want to focus on what it looks like when that person of the Holy Spirit is in us. We're called to be Spirit-Filled People. And when we are privileged with to find this filling within us, it is life-changing. It is powerful. I'm going to be reading a little bit from chapter 1 and from chapter 2. And I want to draw your attention to, guess how many, 3 truths about the Spirit-filled person. These 3 truths are beautiful. Though sometimes you might not like them. So that pretty much sums up everything I usually say. I'm going to read first in chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." My first truth, my first point this morning is this: Spirit-filled people wait. Spirit-filled people wait. I told you you wouldn't like it. Jesus said, "Wait for the gift my Father promised." And in the context of this passage, Jesus is referring to a pre-filling existence. They haven't discovered the Spirit yet. They've discovered salvation, and they understand that Jesus died for them, and they get all that, and they're still gathering, and they're still praying together. And in this context, exactly, they're actually meeting with Jesus. That would be cool. And in this moment, Jesus is saying, wait. And so what do they have to do? They have to wait. And then, but their question is, well, God, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Are you going to do the thing we think you're going to do? Are you going to make it happen now, what we expect from you? And he said, it's not for you to know. Can I tell you that this passage is referring to a pre-filling existence? And can I tell you that if you have never experienced the Spirit of God inside of you, dwelling, empowering you, you're in that place. Can I tell you something else? Because this has been my experience. Don't give up on pursuing it. Don't ever give up on pursuing that. I grew up in a home where it was emphasized the Spirit of God. My dad is speaking in tongues at 4, age 4. That's not fair. And I grew up, and I remember, man, I'm past 4, and I didn't find that. And I remember my mom too, both my parents. And I thought, so it was normal to me. It wasn't something, I wasn't like, tongues, well, that's weird. Some of you are like, that's weird. You know, I wasn't like that. It was totally normal to me, and I wanted it, and I wanted that power, that strength. And I pursued that thing all the time. I constantly pursued it. And my experience has been this: when I stopped pursuing it, then I found it. I was at a History Maker conference, and I was in a worship service, and they were singing the song, "I Exalt Thee." I don't know why I remember those details, but anyway, I was singing the song, "I Exalt Thee," and I had just raised my hands, and I was lost in the presence of God. "I exalt thee, I exalt thee. Oh God, I exalt thee." And I remember it very well, just there was no more words. And it took me a second to catch what had just happened. And I'm sitting in the presence of God, lost in the presence of God. And then a moment later I went, hey, wow, wow. I'll talk about that stuff, the tongue stuff, later. Just Don't leave. Just hang in there. And God had me wait. It took a long time. I wanted it years before I found. That was 16, age 16. That's when I found this. That's when I discovered. It took years. I'd been saved for a long time. It took years. But God needed to work me through everything that I would go through to get me to the place where I was ready. We need to trust in God's timing. This principle, however, of waiting goes beyond our pre-filling experience. Wherever you are in your Christian walk, God is going to put you in a season of waiting. Wait for the promise. Wait for the promise. Church, we are in a season of waiting. I'm an interim youth pastor and I'm waiting. Waiting. Just every Wednesday. Well, here we go again. I'm still waiting. Don't worry, it's not quite like that. You're just like, still waiting. Yes. Yeah. Waiting. And God will put us in these seasons of waiting where it doesn't happen right away. It doesn't happen like we think it's going to happen. And God is saying, wait. Further still, I'm still in this subject of waiting. Sometimes we come to church and it happens too often where we don't wait on God. We sit in our chairs or we stand because we're good at that. You got to stand and worship. Can't encounter Jesus on sitting down. I'm kidding. Take it easy. And we come in the presence of God and we sit here and we got to sing. We got to do something. And we've lost that privilege, that honor, that joy of just waiting. I don't know if you've ever done that, but it is powerful. The last time I preached here, we had that happen and nobody knew what to do. And it made me chuckle a little inside. We got to the end of the service and the benediction had been given. We had prayed. And everyone just kind of sat there, and I don't know if you felt it, but the presence was thick in that house, and in this house. And I was sitting at the back there going, this is God. And then somebody was like, you can go now. And it made me chuckle. We've lost, and don't worry, I'm not judging anybody. You're like, oh, what did he just call us? We've lost the art of waiting. Just to sit in the presence. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. Just wait. Our society's ruined our ability to wait. We're waiting for a tweet from God. Just wait. Check your Facebook later. Just wait. And he'll speak. Often it takes us pulling ourselves away from the busyness and waiting on God. Because he knows. He has all the time in the world. In fact, he's holding all the time in the world in his hand. That's time. He's fine. He's got eternity and he ain't worried about anything. We're the ones with the time problems. Just wait. Spirit infilling. Pre-spirit infilling leaves us waiting in curiosity, maybe sometimes in impatience. I remember that, wanting it so bad and never seeing what I wanted. And once you've been filled, however, your waiting will shift to anticipation. See, I say that I'm waiting. I'm an interim pastor and I'm waiting. But it isn't a waiting of impatience. Not at all. I mean, a little, because I'm anticipating something and I don't like to wait. And God, show me now. And beyond that, God has brought my school bus career to an end, if you can call that a career, brought it to an end. And God has said, now we're moving into a new season. Just wait, and I'll tell you where to go next. Just wait. And here I am waiting on what God wants me to do, anticipating amazing, great things, but God is not telling me anything. And people say, oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do without the school? What are you going to do? Well, I don't know. God's got an idea. And I'm just hoping that he clues me in at some point. But God has me presently in a season of waiting, and it's anticipation that drives me forward. Knowing that God is good, knowing that God is faithful, knowing that God will come through, I don't worry about it. It doesn't stress me out. I'm just going to wait. And he keeps giving me little pieces. Little pieces. God is really good at that. We beg him enough for what we want, and then he goes, okay, I'll give you like just a picture. And he did it this weekend at History Maker. He spoke to me and said this, something to me. I'm not going to tell you because you're going to get all worried. God spoke to me. I said, yes, yes, all right. Doesn't answer my question, but we're getting somewhere. Thank you, Lord. That's not what I said, but it is not for you to know the times or dates. You're only asked to wait. Let God orchestrate time, since he is the only one outside of time able to control it. You trust him to know what he is doing. See, when we wait on God, we have to trust him. And really, that's the fundamental issue. We want control. We want to be in charge of it. We want to know where it's going. We want to make our plans. And God says, wait, trust me. I got this. And when we're in the moment of trust, it's so hard. But then we get through it and we look back and go, oh, I can trust God. Yeah, remember that later. This testimony stuff is great because it reminds us, it helps us to remember, I can trust God. Look what God is doing. I can trust him. Chapter 2 of Acts, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. I'm going to preach for a while on one verse. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. There is a power in the people of God gathering together. We've done this before. We talked about this before. It's the only time I got a clap from somebody. Almost got you to say amen. There's a power in the people of God gathering together. Spirit-filled people gather. They get together. They have church. Spirit-filled people gather. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. In chapter 1, in after the verses that I read, and I'm not going to read it, but it just says that they continued to gather daily in prayer. They continued to gather together. How did they respond to God's command to wait? I want you to wait. What did they do? They gathered together daily. That's how they waited. We're going to wait on God by continuing to pursue him. We're going to wait on God by continuing to seek him. When God puts us in a season of waiting, we don't stop praying. We start praying more. When God puts us in a season of waiting, we don't say, I'm not going to do nothing for you. Found the mute button. I'm not going to do nothing for you, Jesus, until you move in my life. I'm not going to pray. You got to do what I said. When we get in touch with God, our waiting season is filled with pursuit of God. Is filled with our pursuit of him. Spirit-filled people gather together to pursue God together. I think it is powerful that the Spirit was poured out on a body of believers that had gathered. I think our theology would have gone a lot differently if the Spirit of God came to one guy and then he went around and talked to everybody. The Spirit of God came on a whole bunch of people. Why? Because when the Spirit of God empowers the church, when the Spirit of God comes upon us as a body, I want you to know something. Each of us is going to experience it a little bit differently, and each of us is going to show it to the world a little bit differently. We call them the gifts of the Spirit, and they are different for every person. Why? Because God didn't want any one person to save the entire world. He wanted the church to bring them to the kingdom. He wanted all of us together. I need you, and you need me. Sorry. We're called to be together, a group of people, each of us empowered on their own. And when we gather, because we are all gifted differently, the body is then one. Jesus is in his wholeness manifest to the world around when we gather. The Spirit of God moves in community. When things get stressful, it is our desire to leave church and be alone, and we pull back and become less involved in the body of Christ, as if that is supposed to help us. Parents pull their kids out of youth group because they're misbehaving, which confuses me, because why would you remove them from the presence of God when they're acting out of that? Sorry if I just offended some parents. I'm not sorry. Why would we remove them? They're in trouble. They can't go to you. They're not allowed to encounter Jesus. Now, that's not what's going through the parent's head. The parent just thinks youth group is fun. And I tell you, it's fun. But I tell you, the presence of God is ever present in that room. That is my desire and my passion, and as long as I'm here, that's what I'll be doing. And I pray that the person that comes and takes my place has a similar passion. I don't want them to be me, but I want them to be similar and pursue God. I want them to lead these youth into the presence of God, because I believe that that's more important than anything. They can get their games and their fun and all their enjoyment, and any youth that are in the room, this is my heart. They can get their games and their enjoyment and their fun with their friends at school and other venues, at sports. There are plenty of places for that to happen. I want them to come here and encounter Jesus. I want them to realize the sincerity of God's heart. I want them to realize who he is. That's my passion. So, if you're a parent in the room, maybe you punish them by sending them to youth group. You're being misbehaving. You're going to go meet Jesus. Have him straighten you out. We have a tendency to want to remove ourselves from community. Oh, it's too hard. Life's too hard. I don't want to go meet with people. They might realize that I'm hurting and call me on it. Or it's just going to be too stressful to try and hide it. It's too much work. We're called to be a body of people. We're called to gather. We're called to get together. That's where the power of God moves. There's a reason why some people are gifted with encouragement and giving prophetic words, because you might need that in a season of your life. And you come to church and I don't want to talk to anybody. And somebody walks right up to you and speaks truth right to your heart because they're hearing right from God. And you're like, well, maybe I should come to church once in a while. Yeah, God wants us to gather. He needs us to be together, because he poured out his Spirit on all, that we might together show the world. Church, we need to gather. The answer to life's struggles is not to run from the presence of God, but to run to the presence of God. The precursor to the Spirit showing up was that they were gathered together. They gathered together. I'm not saying God can't move if you're not with somebody else. But this is what God loves. God is three in one. Do you think he has a thing for relationship and community? I think so. In his very person of who he is, there is relationship. Three in one. God likes relationship. He wants us to be together, even when we get annoyed with each other. He wants us to be together so that in our annoyance we can learn from him. God, they said this about me, and they're right. Verse 2 of chapter 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Sorry, I get a little excited. Spirit-filled people witness. And here's what I mean. I struggled with this last point. What word do I put there? These are the things that we struggle with, pastors who preach, just so you know. What word? Spirit-filled people witness. I could have said spirit-filled people reflect God, or spirit-filled people are a conduit of his power. There's so many ideas that fit into the same place. But church, when the Spirit of God comes upon us and gives us that power, we begin to do and say things that change our immediate environment. I'm not saying that to be filled with the Spirit, you need to go and do something. I'm saying that when you are filled with the Spirit, you will go and do something. Not because you have an urgency like, I gotta appease God. No, you are going to go out of the fullness of the power within you. Something inside of you is going to push you forward and nothing's going to keep you from moving. Because you've got to, that was a contradiction. And you've got to go forward. This word witness, we get so many ideas and sometimes we get uncomfortable. I don't want to go on this one-on-one conversation with somebody. And the Spirit of God in you will push you to do what you need to do. And there are people who are gifted to do that, and they are gifted that way on purpose. Let them go and do what they're going to do. But if you're not gifted to do that, it's okay, because God gave you something and you need to operate in what he's just blessed you with, because he needs you to do that. Paul talks about it in Corinthians and says, stop wanting everybody else's gift. Stop wanting the gift of preaching. It's not that fun. I get all sweaty up here. Stop wanting the gift of prophecy, of encouragement. Stop wanting those things. Be content with what God has given you. Seek him. Let him empower you. And then the church together is complete. When the Spirit of God comes on you in power, witnessing just becomes a part of your life. It's just you. People look at you and go, man, there's something wrong with that guy. Amen, I have encountered Jesus. The idea is simple. Witnessing is not necessarily something we do, but rather it just happens. Our lives, transformed further by the power of the Spirit, will speak for themselves. The last thing I need to deal with is this thing of tongues. I'm not really that nervous about it, but a little. Tongues. It says the Spirit of God came on all of them and they began to speak in tongues. And the key phrase we always miss, as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit. There are people who are gifted with tongues and the interpretation of tongues, and they're the ones that we hear proclaiming out loud, and maybe we don't hear that often, but it does happen. And usually after they've given a word in tongues, and either somebody else or they themselves begin to speak it out, translate it for us. But all of us get some form of tongues, and what it usually is for the majority is just a prayer language, is what I call it, or what I've heard it called and how I best understand it. Because I know that I'm not gifted to speak out that way. But I know that I know how to speak in tongues, and not as a bragging point, but I know what it is. when my youth are all gathered at History Maker around me, and I'm at the back row above them in the balcony so I can kind of see them all. They're all just a few rows down. And I begin to look at them, and I begin to see how God is moving on them. And I begin to understand. My response is just to start to speak in tongues. Just to me and God, just having a little prayer moment. And I know that He knows what I'm saying. And it doesn't really matter if I know what I'm saying, because I'm crying anyway. And God understands what's going on. And so I just use what He's given me in that moment and speak to Him on a level that cannot be reached through the limitations of the language I already know. And so I connect with God. My spirit connects with God in a whole new level. And I just begin, and I see things happen in those moments. There's been a few times where I've been called to go with my dad to go do prayer ministry. And in particular, to deal with spiritual stuff. And I told Dad, I said, I got to go anyway because I need to experience this, because it's just good for me to do. I'm stretching myself as a leader. And so we went into this place, and I told him, I said, I'm just going to pray in tongues, and you pray for whatever you're going to pray. I'll be your backup. And that's what I did. I just sat there and quietly prayed to the Spirit, just me and the Spirit having a little conversation, because I believe that when we do that, church, it shakes the spiritual realm up. I know it did at History Maker, because on our trip home, we had some little issues, and I don't dwell on that and don't worry about it. It was the spiritual realm having a problem with what just happened. I'm more convinced now that something has changed in the hearts of those that came with me to History Maker, because the spiritual realm is upset. It was acting out. The enemy was attacking hard. And initially I thought, man, what's going on? What am I going to do? This is hard. I'm just an interim. This isn't fair. And then God just spoke to me, it's a spiritual thing. Remember, it's a spiritual thing. Remember, you are not wrestling against flesh and blood. And I just began to pray in tongues again and begin to speak into that moment and say, God, you have your way. In my mind, I was also thinking maybe it's too late to be praying this because this enemy's already gotten in a little bit, but I'm going to pray anyway. And that night, after everyone had gone to bed, me and Brett and Carol, we were praying. We were praying that the Spirit would protect that place for the rest of that night. I said, God, you need to guard this house. Guard where we are staying. Father, post your angels at every door and keep us from the enemy so that we can sleep, so that we can get up, so we can get home. And the next morning, I addressed what had happened and talked to the students a little on the bus, like a good old tour guide. And then we prayed again. I said, God, protect us. Keep us safe. Not from the physical stuff, though that would be nice too. But God, from this spiritual battle. Keep us safe. Church, you need to keep praying. Don't worry about the Spirit. I'm going over, just so you know. Because I can't rush this. Church, keep, so, you know, I'm only an intern, what are they going to do? I'm just kidding. So keep praying, church. Keep seeking God. And I say that with not just words, I'm saying keep seeking God. We've heard it said, you know, at district conference, they talked about how it's good to seek the gifts. We can't just, you know, it's not both sides. You seek the gifts and you seek God. Yes, but keep seeking God. I believe that is so important. I didn't find the Spirit in my life until I sought God. Up until that point, I was looking for something, what I thought I needed. I was looking for a specific manifestation of God. I wasn't looking for God. I wanted His stuff. Didn't want Him, I wanted His stuff. Seek God. When I sought God and found Him, that's when I found the Spirit. That's when it came. Keep praying over this body. Church, this church, we're in a season of waiting. You know that. We're waiting right now for you to finish those questionnaires. Then we're going to wait for the district to do what it does. And then we're going to wait for the board to get their act together. I'm just kidding. We're waiting. And we're waiting for the right guy to come along. And we're waiting for the right person to move in. We're waiting for the interim to take over and help us get through. We're waiting. Church, you're in a season of waiting. And God has put you here. Don't worry about it. Keep seeking God because He'll get you through. He'll bring you to the end. Be prepared to wait. Continue to gather and get ready to witness. Because when the Spirit of God comes on you, you will never be the same. You will never be the same. The Spirit of God will make you do things you would never have done. I tell people this, I tell youth this when I talk about the Spirit of God. I'm sorry about the time. And I say, I'm not a public speaker. I'm not. The Spirit of God will make you do things. And He'll begin to shape you. You know that before I got called into ministry, I was very introverted. Still am, but God pushes me out of that quite regularly. I got to go talk to people. Ministry. I got to love people. I got to get along with. I can't just be on my own. I'm a firstborn. I was on my own for 3 years. And somebody had to ruin that. I'm totally comfortable in that realm, but God took me, empowered me, and now moves me away from where I'm comfortable. And I promise you, it's amazing. I love it. Because I know it's not me. I love it because I know I'm scared spitless to talk in front of people. I know that it scares me. I know that it frustrates me. On one hand, I want to someday get over that. But on the other hand, I love it because it keeps reminding me the whole time I'm up here who I belong to and who is giving me the power. And it's amazing because I walk away from every service going, thank you, God, that you spoke this morning. Thank you, God, that you spoke tonight. Thank you, God, that you were in the place. Thank you, God. I come away all the time thinking that was a good one. But not from my own perspective. I look at it and go, God, that was good. You spoke to me. Through me. That's pretty good. I'm talking to myself. Let us become more aware of the presence of His presence. Let us become more aware. Let us experience His goodness. The glory of His goodness. I just quoted a song for those of you that are. God is good. I'm going to close in prayer, and the talented people. God is good. Let's aim all the time. Thank you. I almost forgot my cue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just fill this house. God, for those people obsessed with time, stop our watches. God, just fill this place from that wall to that wall. This entire place. God, the kids that are still down in their kids' ministry, God, fill this house. Spirit of God, begin to move. Begin to speak directly into the lives of people in this room. The ones that need to hear from the real living God, speak now. To the one that needs to be reminded that they are loved by the Father, tell them I love you. To the one that needs to know that God, you have everything under control, tell them, remind them, say it's okay, I got you. Jesus, would your presence be in this place? Father, as we begin to sing a song, as we begin to glorify you and honor you and lift your name higher, God, as we begin to sing to you, as we together gather in song, would you be glorified, Father, and would your spirit rest in this place? And would we leave this house different than when we came? Because that is how you move. Because that is what you do. We wait, God, for you. We're already gathered, and we're ready for what you're going to call us to do.